Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. More than 20,000 Americans die of antibiotic-resistant infections every year, and that number is expected to rise. Efforts to overcome antibiotic resistance have largely focused on finding new ways to treat the most deadly bacterial infections, but a new analysis suggests that focusing on mild infections might actually be more fruitful and could reduce antibiotic resistance overall. Christopher Wohlein-Woldetoft is a postdoctoral researcher at Georgia Institute of Technology and the lead author on that new publication. Welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you.
Antibiotic resistance has been around literally as long as antibiotics have, but it's reaching really problematic levels. And according to some estimates, we could by mid-century be in a situation where antibiotics are largely ineffective. I mean, that's a terrifying situation to be in. What is driving the rise of antibiotic resistance?
So, of course, antibiotic resistance evolution is driven by antibiotic use. But then there's the question of specifically which infections are most important in this regard. And there is also research in other areas on other aspects such as hygiene measures and so on that may also influence this.
Well, and most of the effort has been focused on finding alternative treatments for the really deadly infections. I mean, that seems like an obvious place to focus attention because there's an immediate possibility of saving lives. But there hasn't necessarily been as much progress as people would like to see. Why has it been so difficult to find alternatives to antibiotics for these really tough-to-treat infections?
So the reasons are likely complex, but we think that one important aspect is that deadly infections are basically hard to treat. And that puts the bar very high, which means it is hard to make a drug that is good enough. So what we are suggesting is that by focusing on more mild infections, it may be possible to lower the bar on how good the drug needs to be, so you may increase the success rate.
And in trying to focus on those mild infections, what kinds of infections are we talking about?
We reviewed the literature on how antibiotics are used in different countries. And the general pattern is that infections like pharyngitis, urinary tract infection, otitis media and the like are top drivers of antibiotic use throughout the world. And it is plausible that that also means that they are drivers of antibiotic resistance evolution.
So how would changing the way that we treat things like urinary tract infections, what kinds of alternatives might we turn up, and how would that reduce the problem of antibiotic resistance?
The idea is that since these infections are likely to drive the evolution of antibiotic resistance, if we can use other non-antibiotic treatments in those infections, that would decrease the evolution of antibiotic resistance, and that would allow us to save the antibiotics for the severe infections where they are really needed. And in terms of what therapeutics might be useful, there are several lines of research that include, for example, bacteriophages and inhibitors of specific molecules that the bacteria produce that are involved in causing disease and so on. There are several different lines of research in this area.
I'm talking with Christopher Wohlein-Woldetoft. He's a postdoctoral researcher with Georgia Institute of Technology looking at alternative treatments for bacterial infections that might help address the growing problem of antibiotic resistance. Let's talk a little bit more about what some of these alternatives are. These are things that in some cases, using viruses to treat a bacterial infection, a virus that actually in nature infects and kills bacteria. You know, these kinds of alternatives have been tried with more severe infections and not really panned out. So why would they work better on a mild infection, do you think?
Yeah, so they wouldn't necessarily work better on the mild infection, but in the mild infection, the stakes are lower, so they don't need to be as good.
And would these kinds of alternative treatments not in some way engender resistance in the bacteria the same way that antibiotics have done? I mean, are there ways to get around essentially the natural process of evolution?
Yeah, so there are two answers to that. One is, of course, that the key thing here is to avoid resistance to the antibiotics that we need in the severe infections, so that alternatives in mild infection might help that by reducing antibiotic use. Then there are also ways to make these alternatives less prone to resistance evolution. For example, if you can lower the bar so you can use less effective drugs, you can, for example, inhibit bacterial communication and how they regulate these molecules that cause disease. And there have been studies showing that may be more robust to resistance evolution, but unfortunately it isn't as effective as a drug.
But as you were saying, with a mild infection, maybe just knocking down, interfering with communication a little bit would be enough, I guess, to let our bodies take care of a mild infection. But that's not good enough with some of these more deadly infections.
So we're imagining this for previously healthy individuals with an intact immune system that contract an infection that is typically not deadly.
My guest is Christopher Wohlein-Voldetoft. He's a postdoctoral researcher at Georgia Institute of Technology, looking at ways to address the growing problem of antibiotic resistance. I mean, when we talk about, you know, using these alternative treatments on mild infections, basically just to reduce the overall use of antibiotics, we're already seeing doctors kind of move in that direction that, you know, perhaps you take your child in with an ear infection, and instead of them immediately handing you antibiotics, they say, well, there's a good chance it's viral. Let's give it 2 or 3 days and see what pans out. How much of this problem can we address just by not using antibiotics versus putting a lot of effort into developing these alternative treatments for infections?
Personally, I think this is partly a cultural issue, because if you look at studies from different countries of how antibiotics are used, you can see that, for example, in Sweden, the default is to not treat ear infections. It's treated in the very young and the people above 12, and if there is a special complication, otherwise not. It may be that is acceptable in some cultures, but in some it may also be that people actually don't accept that. And then you need a drug that at least helps partially, so you can sort of reach the acceptable level.
And is there any possibility that by reducing our overall use of antibiotics, can that actually kind of walk us back from where we are with antibiotic resistance overall? Or are we just talking about kind of stabilizing at the situation that we're currently at?
Well, that's a tricky question, because it is often assumed that antibiotic resistance carries a cost for the bacterium, such that in the absence of antibiotics, it's outcompeted by sensitive strains. But there have been trials where prescription of an antibiotic has been ceased, and that has, at least in the short term, not had that effect. We had that sort of study here in Sweden some years ago. And there may be several reasons for that. It may be, for example, that several resistances co-occur in the same bacteria. So you stop prescribing one antibiotic, but you still have other antibiotics to which the same bacteria are resistant, but still promote those resistant bacteria. It may also be that the costs of the resistance for the bacterium aren't that big.
So the likelihood is that even if we develop alternative therapies for mild infections, we may still have an antibiotic resistant problem with some of these more severe infections. This isn't necessarily an either or situation. It's not necessarily a replacement for efforts to find alternatives for more severe infections, is it?
Well, I think that at least in the short run, there is likely to be antibiotic resistance, even if they cut down severely on antibiotics. But the increase should slow down, and there may be a decrease, but I wouldn't expect wonders overnight. In terms of whether it's an either-or, I think we also need to look for new treatments for the severe infections. But what we want to do is to put this issue on the agenda to say that even those strategies that may not be effective enough for the most severe infections may still make a positive contribution to solving this problem.
That's Christopher Wohlein-Voldetoft. He is a postdoctoral researcher with Georgia Institute of Technology and the lead author on a new analysis suggesting that alternative treatments for mild bacterial infections could slow the spread of antibiotic resistance. Christopher, thank you so much.
Thank you.